Hey guys, we are back with another episode of Two Kosh Girls.
Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom. I really get a really good mood, which is really good because
we're not always moods when we have to record together, but we do it for you guys. Yes. But it's been a big week for Jory. She has accomplished big things. So without further ado,
Okay, so there's a lot going on. So I'm running a half marathon soon in like a week. So I've been training and I ran like 10 miles the other day, which was crazy. And I was like shocked. I was like shocked that I could do that. And I wasn't like so tired and my legs, my body weren't like killing. So I did that. That was super fun. So running half marathon, if anyone likes running, let me know because I'd love to run with you. And if you have any tips or anything like that, that'd be super fun.
It's so insane. Like compared to me, like I give myself a pat on the back when I do 15 minutes of yoga every day and like drink water. I'm not even kidding. I'm not over exaggerating.
It's all wins for everyone. Everyone's different, but like I need to drink water. I definitely don't drink water and it's a problem.
The struggles with that all day. Is there like an, you should start an Upper West Side Jewish running group idea. Wow. Would you be into that or are you more into running alone?
I would totally be into that. I could, honestly. Yeah. I really could. I'm not the fastest. So like, which is not the biggest deal. I'm sure there's faster people, but I wouldn't want them to think they have to keep up with me because I started it. So not keep up with me, but like, stay at my pace. I could do that, honestly. I can make a lot of friends that way.
Yeah. I have all the ideas that I never do myself. I throw them on you.
I know. But speaking of making friends, there's so much going on in my life. Let me just like plug everything. I just started this, it's called MJE, so Manhattan Jewish Experience Fellowship. They have like a fellowship of like fellows. Whatever that means, and people all over the New York area that like learn together on Wednesday, do Shabbatons, make friends, like it's super fun. So I'm part of this like program, just like learning more in Judaism because I feel like I peaced out during COVID a lot, and laxed on all my rules and like kosher and Shabbos, and now I'm like, let's get back in business. So I'm doing that. It's super fun. The funny thing is, like, if I wasn't, I'm dating Saul, thank goodness, but I did have a boyfriend, I'd literally be all over the boys. I'd be like literally doing it for the men to find a shidduch. So it's like different for me not trying to flirt with and like talk with all the boys, like more so learn. It's like weird for me.
I know, because that's just what we do. But like, does that mean you're focusing more on your Judaism?
I am. No, for sure. I'm definitely focusing on my Judaism. That's what I want to do. And it's really, really great. I love MJE. They're super informative, helpful. Like, they're the best. But
what does the fellowship entail?
Oh, yeah. So we do volunteer work. We do Shabbatons. We do retreats together, just, like, learning. There's a lot of learning, basic Judaism and, like, Tanakh, like, all that stuff, too. Kabbalah. And then we go to Israel. So next year I'll be in Israel with you.
Oh my God, I forgot about that part. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
We will bring you a great time, the best of times.
You know, it's been such a long time. It's like crazy when you live there. I lived there for a year. It was like my home. And then you leave and it's kind of like, this is still my home, but I feel so lost.
Yeah.
That's how you felt when you came to New York.
Oh my God. Yeah. New York. I was like, I'm literally from here. Why am I like nervous on the subway? It made no sense. But now I'm safe and sound back in my, you know, Herzliya. It's pretty quiet here compared to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But
how is it? Do you live by the beach?
I thought I was going to live by the, I didn't do enough research because I just like signed up for the sublet really quickly because I needed to get there for work. So the beach is like an hour away. so like walking, so I could technically go like during the week, but on Shabbat, like it would be really difficult to walk there in this heat. Yeah, like the fall weather has not arrived yet. Like I had my AC so on high last night, I could barely fall asleep. But I could still take the bus, you know, so I'm not complaining, I guess.
Wait, sorry, did you say how far of a walk is it?
It's an hour, which is like,
oh my god,
yeah, I don't live in the most ideal place in Herzliya.
I mean, when I say Herzliya, I think like ideal beach.
Yeah, yeah. I also thought that, but no. Maybe next year. We shall see.
Okay. Cool. But well, let's do something. I mean, you're closer to the beach than I am. Kind of close to the beach too, but they're shitty beaches.
But any more updates on your end?
Oh my god, yeah. Guys, sorry. I'm like literally plugging my life. So, okay, Shabbos is crazy. Things happen on Shabbos that are crazy. So, Saul and I went to this, like, darty on Shabbos, food, drinks, like, whatever. And then a few people were like, we're going to go to the Global Citizen Festival, which is in Central Park. And then I was like, okay, let's just, like, go to Central Park. We usually go to the Great Lawn. And then we end up walking through VIP security, getting in, and like, which is crazy because the tickets are like $250 for VIP. It wasn't just general admission, it was VIP. And we just walk through. Then some guy finds us and is like, hey guys, you don't have a wristband. How did you get so far? I'm like, I don't know. We're just like, we look cool. We looked like Shabbos clothes. So we looked like we belong in VIP because like, if you're going to a festival, you usually don't dress nice. So then Saul and I like waited for a little bit. Heard Lizzo, heard Shawn Mendes from afar. And then we like made friends with a security guard and he's like, dude, I really want some booze. I really want some booze. And I'm like, I have, you know, two bottles of Truly with me, like two cans of Truly. Do you want to take the Truly? And then like, can you just like walk us in through the VIP and get us in? And he's like, sure. He literally walked us into VIP. We had no wristband, no nothing. And I literally heard J-Lo, Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, Coldplay. Like, it was the craziest thing of my life. And we got it for free.
Insane. And I'm so jealous of you guys.
It's, like, literally insane. Like, it's, like, the most insane thing. The whole time, Saul and I are like, what is going on? Like Shabbos, like, we didn't have phones. We didn't have money. We had nothing. All we had was the two cans of alcohol. And I was, like, dressed. It was the craziest experience ever. But that's New York.
It highlights the power of Shabbat, okay? Because none of this happened without it. Why were you guys in the park with White Claws? Because of Shabbat. Like, that's right? What you do as an Upper West Sider.
Sit on the lawn. Yeah. And, like, we did have, like, if we had a phone, you know, or something like that, maybe that, like, I don't know. It was just, like, we're in the moment.
Would have taken away from the experience, for sure. Like, I went to Indy Negev, the festival that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And like, everyone was just filming it on their phones. But because me and my friend were keeping it, like, we got so into the music. And, like, you really, like, get into it. So, Shabbat plug also. Who was the best performer?
Who was the best performer? I think – oh, and I saw Billie. Sorry. I saw Billie Eilish, too.
No, I love Billie Eilish.
She was actually really good. I'm not a big fan of her at all, but like she was really, really good. I would say Shawn Mendes and Billie were my favorites, and J-Lo. But like Shawn Mendes is so hot, and his voice sounds just like the CD. Like, and he just like rocks with it. Ugh. I was like, Saul, this is my hall pass. Like, I'm taking Shawn.
You're too bad. How VIP is VIP though? Like, how close could you get? Could you have yelled like, Shawn, like, I love you, and he would hear you?
Yeah. Okay. I was really, really close, but like, there were so many other people screaming, so you couldn't be like, yelling at him because he wouldn't hear it. But like, he could hear it. Like, yeah. I was that close.
Yeah, yeah. So let's try that again next year. Like, specific, I think Global Music Festival always takes place on Shabbat, like on a Saturday. So we'll come back with the White Claws.
So next year, I'm going to try the same thing.
Yeah, we'll hope for the same bouncer and relive that experience. Yeah.
So crazy. So that's my crazy, I've had a crazy, Baruch Hashem, good few weeks and days.
Yeah.
Lots in the horizon for me, or lots happening, so I'm happy. But what's going on? We have a really, 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 or anything else you want to add, Abs?
I just want to introduce our guest today, Nava Chaimedes. Oh my God, I still don't know how to pronounce her name.
We'll see if we say it right.
We're gonna Chaimedes. It's like hard to spell and say, and I've lived with her for a year, so it's embarrassing. But she was at my roommate in Israel, and she was an army medic, and she's just like one of the funniest people that I've ever met. So, without further ado, she's gonna explain her last name, number one, and number two, just like give us everything that she's been through the past couple of years, because it's hilarious. Okay, guys, get ready for Nava after the break.
Bye.
Hey, 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 we're back from the break with our special guest, Nava Chaimedes.
Are you kidding me? You just discussed this.
Chaimedes?
Okay, we don't know how to pronounce her last name. I practiced it a couple of times before this, but Nava was my number one roommate in all of Israel, I would say. I don't know if I'm your number one roommate, but she's infamous for many things: her iconic army service as a medic, her deep love for Hamilton the musical, but above all else, her passion for implementing Borat quotes into her daily life. Me and Nava actually met as random Facebook roommates, and it was, I don't know if it was love at first sight, but now we do love each other. Fortunately, she just moved back to New York to pursue her career as a doctor, because like apparently she needs to save the world and whatever. And Jory actually got the chance to meet her on a hike in Bear Mountain when I was visiting New York. And now we're all meeting virtually. Very exciting time. Say hi, Nava.
Hi. You know, Jory and I actually met when you were back in Israel, because over Sukkot, she was in Riverdale. Erin Inter.
Oh, yeah, we are.
What?
We saw each other recently.
You weren't there because you live in Israel, so.
How did neither of you guys tell me that?
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't tell you. We should have told you. But whatever. Yeah.
You would have known.
Yeah, we had a good time. We also went hiking together. That was fun. You're a cool girl. I was like, obviously, I know why Abby loves you so much. Like,
yeah, that's why I'm her favorite roommate. Sorry to all the other ones.
I was never her roommate, so I can't.
Yeah, so you can't. I don't know. I mean, I moved in with some new, pretty cool people recently, so we'll see how this year goes.
Don't worry.
You recently celebrated your 23rd birthday. Happy birthday from Chicago, girl.
Happy birthday. You're 46. So young. You are so fresh.
No, it was fun. It was on Shabbat. Honestly, better than my last few birthdays. Like last year, I was in quarantine in a hotel in Israel because I had just gotten back to Israel.
Okay.
2 years ago, it was on Yom Kippur. Before that, it was in the army.
So are you saying this was the best birthday since like your army days?
Probably since before my army days, because my birthdays in the army were not fun because I was in the army.
Hey. Love your positivity vibes.
Did you do anything fun?
Not really. I've just been doing homework, honestly, because I want to get everything done, you know. Got to have that 4.0.
You've been maintaining a 4.0 for real?
I mean, I haven't done anything. So I have 100 average and everything, because all we've had was like midterms and homeworks and stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's all fake classes, because I finished all my prerequisites in Israel in 1 year. So just a fake one. So
let's go back a little bit. So you're from Riverdale, grew up in Riverdale, you went to Israel you went to Israel for how long, and then you came back. So tell me about that.
So I made Aliyah right after high school when I was 17, like 2 months after I finished high school, I think I made Aliyah. Made Aliyah with Garin Sabar, so they put you on a kibbutz with a group of other Americans and one South African, actually. Don't know how he got mixed up in all this, but we were on Kibbutz El Amim, which is right next to Gaza. If the wind is right, the you know, if the wind is right, the smell of the cows and, like, the pepper spray from the border comes into the kibbutz, which is lovely. But it was a really sweet kibbutz. It was, like, a socialized kibbutz, so everyone, like, eats together in the lunchroom, and it was really cute. Wait, but it wasn't in the middle of nowhere.
So you were literally so – you were, like, right next to Gaza. Did you hear –
2 or 3 kilometers? Yeah. You see it from the window. That's fun. God.
Do you hear, like, bombs going off?
I mean, it doesn't happen as often as the news, but I mean, the news kind of makes it seem like it happens pretty often. But like in the 2 years I was living there, there were only like, I think 3 instances where there was like pretty bad like rockets and stuff like that. But it does not happen like as often as people would think. It's not like all the time, like crazy, whatever.
Were you ever scared? Were you like, I could die like right now? Like
the first time I'm like, why?
Come to my kibbutz.
And then the first time I'm like, why? But like, honestly, kind of expected it. It was worse, honestly, when I was living in Givat Shmuel this past May. And it was there because you're in the center. You're like, it's never going to happen in the center. And then all of a sudden you're like, nothing's sacred anymore. They're coming everywhere. I was like texting Abby the whole time.
Yeah, we made a lot of memes. That was my first rocket experience. And Nava was like, first time?
All of the, like, you up memes when they would, like, send rockets at, like, 2 a.m. It was really rude of them also.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm scared. Oh, my God.
Then I did the Army also, drafted. I was with, I don't want to call them felons, but, like, Gurin Sabar messed up with my draft date, and they put me in at the last minute for medics course, so there was no room in basic training for them. So the only other basic training at that time was one for people who had refused draft in the past or who had been incarcerated either before they drafted or during their previous basic training. And it was me and 4 other Americans that Gareen Sabar had also messed up with. And they just like threw us in the middle of that. And like all of them had said that they wanted to commit suicide. And all of them, like I would say 80% of them were not allowed to have guns on them either. And some of them actually, we had some instances where they would call their boyfriends to come to the gate of the base and pick them up, and they would try to run out of the base. Or we would just be like standing there. They would just like run like towards the gate of the base and try to get out. But they were unsuccessful because the gate is locked and they could not get out. So it was fun.
They weren't actually suicidal though, right? Like they just said that to the army.
I mean, as far as I know, no, because also they would say like, I just want to get out, and they would be like sharing tips. Like we slept in tents at night with like cats and sand, and it was disgusting, but they would like share tips. They're like, yo, I heard that if you put like half a shekel, like the coin in your pee when you're doing a urine sample, then it'll come back as blood and you'll get 2 days sick leave. Like that kind of stuff. They would be like,
oh my God.
I know all the tricks. All that you want to break an arm, you cut a potato in half, put the potato on the arm for a few hours. Apparently it breaks easier after that. Did not know that. I did not learn about this in my bio degree. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it works, but I can confirm that putting a half shekel coin in your urine does make it come back positive for blood, as I have seen many times as a medic. It does work.
Have you tried it?
I have not, but I've seen other people try it. Or if you like have a paper cut and you just squeeze it into the, because you get to go home.
Are you just such a goody two shoes that you never tried to fake a sick day?
No, because I was a lone soldier. If I wanted to go home, I could easily tell them I was having issues at the bank, which I always was because Israel, or issues with my landlord, and they would like usually let me go home.
Right. So
wait, so you were, oh, Zach, I know we're going like before and after, but you were in kind of like a psych crazy green.
No, my Gareen was fine. These were the soldiers that were with me. My Gareen was amazing. Oh, okay.
So my Gareen was amazing.
Wait, for people that don't know what Gareen Sabar is, could you explain it?
Yeah, so it's like a group that helps usually Americans, but there are also some Europeans and a few Australians, South Africans sprinkled in the mix. But they're basically seminars in America where you get to know the group of people or the Gareen. And then you all move to Israel together. They put you on a kibbutz And then you all draft around the same time. You do, like, prepping there, and you learn Hebrew together. And then it's kind of like a place for you to go back after the army. And my going personally was great. It was a lot of post-college people who were way old. Like, I was 16 at the first seminar, and there were, like, 24, 25-year-olds there. But it was fun. I learned to adapt to the elderly crowd.
Oh, my God. They're not elderly. I'm older than that.
We take offense.
No, but when I was younger, when I was 16, so like from my perspective.
Why were you so young?
Because it was after high school, and a lot of them went after college. Like, the majority of my guardian is from, like, they went to Binghamton and Maryland.
You graduated from high school?
Yeah, right after high school. I graduated at 17, but I did the seminars at 16.
Wow, you're really young.
Yes, thank you. I maintain that youthful glow.
Oh my gosh.
Drop the skincare routine.
I feel like I'm the elderly one here. Okay. Okay, so you did the army. I want to hear a little bit more about the army. So tell me about some stories.
Wait, did you make new friends in the psych ward? Like, I know that you were besties with your Gareen, but like, are you in touch with any of the girls that you met there or no?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with them. I have a bunch that, like, I text all the time. We have a group chat. So after basic training, I was with, like, a little bit more, I don't know how to say this nice. I was with better people and nicer people. Unfortunately, there were not Americans with me until 6 months before I got released. There was one American, but I was stuck with all Israelis. So I had to, like, you know, only speak Hebrew because they wouldn't speak English with me until they were ready to go to birthright. And then they're like, teach me English. But no, we had some interesting stories. Like, the doctor on my base did not want to be a doctor in the army anymore. So we gave everyone gimelim, which is basically sick leave. Like, you can go home if it's like a piece of paper, it says gimelim, and you can, like, go home sick leave. And he wanted them to basically fire him. So he just gave everyone who walked into the office that day gimelim. And then the commander of the whole base found out and said nobody can leave the base from this point because he didn't want people to leave the base. The doctor wanted to leave the base. So there's actually a video, I don't know if I've sent it to Abby, of him running, jumping over and climbing over the fence of the base. He got on a bus and he was missing for a month. Eventually he came back and we were told to hide all of the drugs and, like, stuff that was in his room. Cause there's, you know, like ketamine, morphine, all that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So we had to hide it. And then we're like, can we have a new doctor? Cause he refused to see any patients. And they're like, no, because on the form, it says that there's a doctor in your base. We're like, yes, but he's not allowed to treat anyone. So since there was no doctor, I was alone on my base, like, one weekend. I was the only, like, medical person there. And these people kept on passing out. I think it was, like, 4 or 5 people just passed out. And I was the only medic there. And I had to, like, go and, like, get them, like, on stretchers. And I had to help carry them on a stretcher and, like whatever. One had an asthma attack, one of the people there. One, we still don't know why she passed out. One had a heart thing. Anyway,
what do you do? Wait, so, like, what do you do? That's so scary. Like, do you think they're gonna die?
No, so, like, I had never experienced this before because most of my service was boring and not do, like, 90% was sitting on my ass not doing anything. But like, I just did what I could. I, like, since there were so many, I split them up into rooms. I told their commanders to, like, let me know, you know, if their blood pressure goes above or below a certain thing, call me. Like, if this number goes below
this. Did you just put needles in them?
What?
Did you have to put, like,
yeah.
You've done that?
Yeah, wow. Of course. I gave morphine once also. But no, most of my service is boring though. But basically, so I needed to call for an ambulance, but we didn't have any drivers because our drivers on base had smoked weed and lost their ambulance license. So we had I called my commander and she's like, okay, call one of the other units that has a base in the area. I called 3 different units. And in the end, one of them finally showed up like an hour later. And by that point, 2 of them were over their panic attacks. So, like, good. And then they only took the remaining 2 to the hospital, so it was fun.
Oh my god, that's, like, insane.
I think you're just ready to be a doctor. You basically just took over the doctor's job.
Grey's Anatomy. No, the rest of my service was literally just sitting around having people, like, my foot hurts. I don't want to like get up and leave my room today. Like, let me sleep in my room the whole day. And the rest was also like heat stroke. We had a few people who did hunger strikes. So that's always exciting because it's prison, apparently.
Who is the most ridiculous patient you ever had to deal with in your service?
Okay, so I think, well, I've had a bunch. One of them, it was like my friend's patient. So he comes in and a lot of times, basically, we're not, if someone says they have ball pain, we can't do anything. Don't want to and cannot because we don't have the tools. We are not equipped mentally or, you know, medically to do anything. So a lot of people just come and say a ball pain, then they automatically get to go like somewhere else and see a doctor. So someone went to my friend and was like, yo, my balls hurt. And she's like, how long? And then just pulls down his pants. My friend starts screaming and everyone like thought that like the soldier was like beating her up. So like we walked in the room and then he got in trouble for that. But that was
fun. One sec. You're freezing a little bit. So I want to see if I can understand this. So
yeah,
your friend or you, someone said they had ball pain. So like penis ball pain. And
yes, as opposed to what balls?
I don't know.
What are the other ones?
Okay, so they had ball pain. And so he pulls down his pants in front of the medic or doctor.
Yeah, in front of my friend just asked how long he'd had it for. And he's just like, well, here, look. And my friend just started screaming. And we thought that she was being like, someone was like hurting her. So we all went in the room. He got in trouble though. So it's fine.
Did you see his balls?
Balls well that ends well. Balls well that ends well, I should say. What?
Wait, so did you see his balls?
My friend did. And my friend just started screaming. It was so funny.
Okay.
I mean, now it's funny, kind of messed up, but like, these people. One other person that we had on my base was this girl that always used to like, she would try to go home. She was so rude to everyone. She was like acting like everyone was there to serve her, whatever. So one time I got this call that like this girl broke her leg. She was standing and then she just fell into a ditch and broke her leg. Now my base was in the desert. We didn't really have that many like hard ditch places that you could fall to break your leg. So I'm like, what is this? And then one of my friends who was this girl's commander called me and she's like, yo, Nava, I think this girl's faking it. She didn't even fall. She kind of just sat on the ground and started screaming that her leg was broken. I'm like, lovely. So then I go outside the clinic and from a distance, I see these two like large, like buff guys on base carrying this girl who was screaming. They put her on a chair because she refused to walk. They like an office chair and they were carrying her on the
like,
chair,
on the
like some kind of like Egyptian, like princess or something.
And she was
like, they were like walking towards me. I'm like, oh no. We go, bring her in. I'm like, her leg looks fine. She could move her leg. There was no sign of anything. And then my friend's like, okay, who was with me? She's like, okay, I'm going to give you ice and we're going to like wrap your leg. We're going to put an ace bandage on it. So my friend goes to start putting ace bandage and all of a sudden the girl kicks my friend and she's like, ow, you're hurting me. But she like kicked my friend really hard. And then my friend freaked out, started screaming at her, whatever. We sent her to go back to like, to, you know, the rest of her group. And they weren't doing any exercise. They were just sitting. They were sitting on a chair. And 2 seconds after she walks out, I hear, is there a medic? Someone fainted right outside. I'm like, this better not be the same girl. Turns out it was, once again, in front of several witnesses. She just like fell on the ground and was fully conscious, didn't actually pass out. So that was very exciting. And she screamed how she was gonna like sue us and whatever. And I did end up like sending her to get help and they said there was like nothing psychologically wrong with her. She didn't get evaluated, obviously, because I don't want anyone to, you know, be suffering in any way. So she did get evaluated and then another time she also like called her boyfriend to pick her up from base because that's just a recurring theme. And the boyfriends drive hours to pick them up from base and take them home. And they don't let anyone off base, obviously. But,
these
yeah.
Israeli boyfriends, they will go above and beyond for their psycho
girlfriend. 3 hours in the middle of the night to pick her up. No one would have. And then there was me, the lone soldier who had no, and I'm just like sitting there and all these other people are like crying about how they miss their families they haven't seen in 20 minutes. And I'm just like sitting there rolling my eyes. I'm like, bye.
Oh my God. This base could be a reality TV show.
It honestly should be. It should
like,
be.
I don't know about you guys, but like in school, I was always like, it was always like, oh, Israelis are like, they're all so tough and like whatever, because there are these wars, like at least in my Jewish school experience, because there are all these wars, they're all so tough and like nature-y and like whatever. And I get there and these people are like crying over like an aunt and like how they haven't seen their family in a day.
Oh my God. It's so true. To be fair, I was crying alongside them, but I mean, did you, oh my God, I bet you didn't cry your entire army service.
No, why would I? It was fun. I literally did nothing. I sat and looked at memes all day.
Oh, wow.
Some people literally have such a chill experience.
I know.
Like, literally just sit and do nothing while others, like, really, like,
Abby would have been fun, too. Abby would have been fun if her commander wasn't, like...
Yeah, there's just like different things that can go wrong in your army service. One of them is like your commander, your actual job, like the people that you're with. And I mean, yours was pretty sabava, right?
Like, that was fun. Yeah. Like, I again didn't really do anything most of the time. It was just people like heat stroke and stuff like that. And it was pretty chill. And it looks good on a resume. Yeah.
Sorry, what city were you in again? I know it was in the South. What city was
it? It wasn't like a city. It's like, it's near the Nitzana border crossing into Egypt. It's like right near there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nothing happens there. It's only drug smuggling. It's like boring.
Yeah. Okay.
Boring part of Israel.
So you were not personally victimized in your army service, unless you count the guy with his balls, which is great.
I was not personally victimized during the army service, no.
I do remember a time where you were personally victimized by Israel's medical system when your appendix got unjustfully, is that even a word? When it got wrongfully stolen from you.
It was robbed. It was a real crime. No, it was ridiculous. Honestly, like I was in school and my stomach started hurting a little bit. I'm like, why would it be anything? Like, you know, why would it? Like, your stomach hurts. Like, why, you know? So I went to the doctor and they're like, it's your appendix. I'm like, lies. And then they're like, go to the emergency room. I'm like, fine. So I go to the emergency room. I'm there for like a day, I think, still like in the emergency room going, like doing all these checks, whatever. No one tells you anything also. Then all of a sudden I'm sitting waiting and I get a text message in Hebrew. It has been decided to hospitalize you. Now, no one told me what was going on because they don't communicate there. I just get a text like, you're hospitalized. I'm like, lovely. So then eventually I go to the desk, ask what's happening. And they're like, yeah, you need surgery. It's your appendix. But we don't have a surgeon in this hospital. This was a level 1 trauma center, massive hospital, by the way, and they're for Israel. And they're like, we don't have a surgeon. So we're going to figure out what to do. 13 hours later, you know, at least they could slip me, you know, some morphine or something good, you know, should have stolen some from the army. But, then they moved me.
You were in pain for like 13, like,
yeah. And then also I couldn't eat because they're like, oh, or drink. Cause they're like, oh, you're having surgery. You can't eat. So then they, 12 hours later, they moved me to another hospital that Abby got to see with its mold and leaky ceilings and
oh God,
all that. And then I was in a room with like 5 or 6 other people. I was the only person under the age of 60 there. It was really lovely. And no one tells you anything. Literally, like, no one talks. No one told me what the surgery was, how they did it, whatever. My friend was with me, my friend Avi. All of a sudden, this like nurse shows up and he's like, okay, we're taking you down to surgery. No one explained to me what the how, why, whatever. I also asked them if I could go to America, if I was like able to fly to America. I'm like, listen, like it'll take me less than 24 hours to get there. Can I medically fly to America and have this done there? And they were like, no. So I could have, by the way. I really think I could have.
Or you don't think you could have?
I think I could have made it there. I really do. Unless the plane's pressure would have changed something internally, I really think I could have made it. So they did it. Take me to the operating room. They still fully conscious, freezing in there. They strap me down to a table like Jesus, like both my arms like spread out like to the side so they can.
Were you scared?
What?
Were you scared?
Yeah, whatever. I love it. And then
give you meds? Sorry. Continue.
Not at that point. No, not at that point. And then they the doctor and nurse start screaming at each other in Russian, and I have no clue what's happening. And then all of a sudden, they just like put a mask over my face, and then I woke up, and it was done.
So you didn't feel anything, right?
What? I mean, after, but like, knock me out.
I remember your friend Avi told me that when you went under, the doctor asked you, like told you to think of your happy place, and you went, New York.
Oh yeah.
Now you're finally back in your happy place. So
it was fun. They messed up a little bit, I think. And then like a bunch of my friends came to visit me, and like my shirt was all covered in blood because they don't clean it up. And then there were some complications. They don't get pain meds. So I took I had Tylenol in my bag. I took that.
Israel, I can't. No.
And then Abby came to visit me, and it happened to be like Yom Ha'atzmaut, like Independence Day. And Abby, what did you do?
Okay, to be fair, it's not my fault that your appendix decided to explode like right during Yom Ha'atzmaut. Okay, I changed a party, but I'm still a good friend, and I still visited you.
You're walking into the bathroom, changing into party clothes, and all these people like dying and whatever.
It's called multitasking, okay? I didn't even realize that. Like, I came in and I was like, Nava, why are you shaking? Because like apparently after surgery, that's how. Like, I don't know. I didn't even realize that it was like a full on surgery. I was like, oh, whatever. She got her appendix taken out. But now you are back in the...
I'm glad you're okay. That is so scary.
Yeah, Abby's a great person.
Abby is the best, of course.
She's, well, it's funny because Nav is being sarcastic. And Jory's like, oh my God, Abby's the best.
No, you were a good roommate.
Yes, I was.
I'm really in shock right now. That's crazy. Okay, well, I'm glad you're okay.
Social medicine for the win.
Oh my God. What made you move back to the US? Because you were there recently in Israel, and then you made Aliyah clearly, and then you came back. So let's talk about that.
I think I lasted 5 years, which honestly, I think I personally deserve a medal for, but
yeah.
I started university there, and I realized that like it was just not for me personally. Maybe other people like enjoyed it, but it was not like the best, like highest level of education. And it wasn't a well-rounded education per se. Like I, in my last semester there, I took 11 STEM courses. I had several 12-hour days, and like, you're not supposed to take 11 STEM courses in one semester. It's a tad much, also in Hebrew. And I'm like, I want to take psych courses. I want to take writing courses. And you just can't do that there. And it's just like so limited. It's like, oh, you want to go into science? You're going to do like a biology degree. What, like health science degrees don't exist there. So I'm like, why don't I go to America, rack up some debt, and do some school here?
That sounds like – so you're going to school now here, but do you have plans to go back to Israel or no?
I mean, probably not, like to visit.
What
like,
about
I'm,
me?
I'm like one of those people who vacation. What about everything? Israel, you know the time? Story, you know the time?
Yeah, oh, I totally get it. It's like once you come back to the U.S. after living in Israel. Oh, that's me. Abby's not like that. But once you come back to the U.S. after being in Israel for a year or like a month or so, I'm like, I can't. I'm so set in my New York ways and my American ways that going back to Israel is hard to live. It's hard. It's great. But
like,
it's
I go to Trader Joe's here, go to Costco.
Yeah.
Magical. It's magical.
Okay. I'm really happy for you guys. I'm going to let you finish. But what would you, okay, you left, but like, what do you miss about Israel? Like, we had our fair share of shits and giggles together here. I know you miss me, obviously, but like, if you did have to say like what you miss about living here, let us know.
Let us know. Hit me up in the comments. No, I like living in Jerusalem. Honestly, it was fun because like I had a lot of friends who just like all lived in the area. So I enjoyed like we would host like big meals together. So that was fun. We had some laughs during quarantine during Corona. That was a trip in Israel because in America they didn't really like lock down, but in Israel we like couldn't leave our houses for a while, and that was just like insane. So I guess it was like the community there is nice in Jerusalem.
Yeah. We did a lot in lockdown. You wrote like half a musical about my love life according to the Happen soundtrack. Less than half. It was like two songs. But it was cool to have my my love life narrated by you.
And it was amazing.
It's been a hot minute since we lived together. But I just also thought that you'd want to share like your best memories of living together, like living under the same roof, not necessarily me, but neighbors.
The neighbors, perhaps. One special neighbor. Abby, jump in anytime you want if I make a mistake when telling this story. I don't know if you've heard about our neighbor's story during quarantine.
Not so much. Tell me.
Okay. So we had in our building, there were four apartments on every floor. And there was one crabby old lady on our floor and another one on the floor below. And they were like co-conspirators. And they thought that maybe they actually were hearing noises. I don't know. But they were convinced that there were noises and they were coming from our apartment because we were a group of like young American girls, right? We later discovered that they were also accusing other people a floor below us who were also young American girls of making noise. Anyway, one time she came like banging on our door and she's like, I opened the door and she's like, starts screaming really, really, really loudly. About how we're making so much noise and we need to be quiet. And meanwhile, inside our apartment, none of us have gotten out of bed all day. Like, it's corona, it's lockdown. Like, none of us have moved the entire day. And she's screaming at us about how we're jumping and dragging furniture. And we're like, she's crazy. We're like, listen, none of us have gotten up. Like, bye. She leaves. And then the whole, like, next few weeks, she just comes back, like, one or two times a week. Screaming at us. You're dragging furniture, you're doing this, but like none of us had gotten up. We're sitting there like binging what was the show?
Too Hot to Handle.
Yes. And like we hadn't gotten up. And then one time I was like really pissed that like she kept on like interrupting me during my classes. So like this is the first time I'd ever screamed at anyone really aggressively in Hebrew, and I'm very proud of myself for this.
Nice.
But both of them like knock on our door and they're like, you're dragging furniture. I'm like, walk into my apartment right now. Go look. Our table was literally nailed down to the floor. It was a built-in table. And I take the table and I start like shaking it. I'm like, what am I dragging? All of our furniture is nailed down to the floor. We're young college students. We don't have that much furniture. Like, I don't know what you're hearing or what your problem is. Just like stop knocking on our door. You can talk to someone else if like, you know, if you're having issues with that, but like leave, like not today, Satan. Bye.
All in Hebrew?
Yeah.
Rockstar.
Okay. But I didn't say not today, Satan, to her because I didn't know how to say it in Hebrew.
Oh my god. I mean, she's literally crazy.
Yeah.
Actually,
I was scared to work out for a couple of weeks. Like I was avoiding like jumping on the floors because I was so scared of her.
But the funny thing was, like a few weeks after that, when there wasn't a lockdown anymore, we hosted a meal and there were like 20 people in our apartment and they were like moving chairs and whatever, and that nobody heard. When there were like 30 people there dragging chairs and talking loudly, no one heard that. Yeah. It was just we were sitting and not moving.
Yeah,
they're hearing things.
We miss that crazy old lady.
Not my worst. I've been told to go back to America by one of my in my old apartment. Been told to go back to where I came from. So like honestly, not the worst experience I've had with a neighbor.
And you took their advice.
I did. It worked.
Oh, wow. I love it. Wait. So we're gonna go to something else. So supposedly you wrote a musical about Abby's love life?
So I wouldn't say I wrote, but like we were stuck in the apartment and we had a Hamilton phase where we would listen to and watch Hamilton, watched it several times, whatever. So we were watching it one time and Abby and I were just sitting on the couch. I'm like, hey, Abby, if we change the lyrics, this is really fitting for like current events in your life. So we changed the words a little bit so it would be fitting for Abby. And I don't think – and we would sing it all the time. And I think our other roommate, Connie, probably got pissed with us about this. But
which Hamilton song was it?
All we had like four or five, right, Abby?
Yeah, but the most popular one was like when they introduce all the guys, you know?
Aaron Burr, sir.
Yeah. So she basically just like introduces all the guys in my life and like gives them. We could go into it. It's a little raunchy. I don't know if I want to. And also, like, I'm not in touch with those guys anymore.
I love it. So. I love like mixing songs with like your life.
Yeah.
Like with the beats in the background and like, yeah.
We did one to Let It Go also, Abby. Remember that one?
Yes. That was a particularly sexual one. And everyone hated us for creating that song. But me and Nava had a good time. And you know what? Good quarantine, song. Okay? Desperate times.
It's like a quarantine thing. It's like not like you would ever do that like in a normal
day.
No, everyone was bored. And like they would only let us out of our – you could only go like grocery shopping at one point or within like 1,000 meters of your house. Don't even know what a meter is. Still don't know how far a meter is. But like we had to stay home. It was boring.
Yeah. But we made it a good time.
I'm sure and we did.
Keep Abby's your eyes good. Out for the musical by Nava.
And you.
It will come out in 2023. That gives you ample amount of time to – when are you finishing your degree?
I don't know. Hopefully in like a year, year and a half.
Okay. So finish a degree, finish the musical. Just like
what about my next degree? Just put that on hold.
What's your next degree?
Well, I have more. Probably, hopefully a master's, like PA school, hopefully.
Okay.
Got hopefully.
Okay. Before we move on to your current life, I want to just, you know, I know we're not the most wholesome girls when we're together, but I do think that you can give advice to next generation for Olim, for immigrants that are thinking of coming to Israel to draft to the army. What would you say to them?
I would say don't take anything seriously. Like whatever they tell you can be negotiated. Everything can be negotiated. They tell you you have to show up at this place on this day or you're going to jail. They're lying. You don't actually need to. They probably didn't even know you were coming in the first place. Speaking from personal experience, like it just, it's disorganized. Like, you know, just like don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take them too seriously and just do whatever you want and act like you're in the place that you're supposed to be and they'll assume you are. Like, actually, speak like you're right, be aggressive, fight people, not on public transportation because that usually doesn't end well. But yeah.
That's actually really great advice because I wish someone would have told me that because I was the biggest drama queen and took everything seriously because that's my personality and like – like if you treat it like a joke, then it is a joke. And everybody,
I feel like there's always ways around things in the army. Like because I feel like some people literally have the easiest time ever and go and just like skip everything that you like need to do that's like mandatory. And other people like literally go through all of it and like are in hell.
I got like I used to like not show up for base a lot of times because I like went to my Mashaki Tosh, who's like an army social worker sort of for lone soldiers. And I'm like, listen, how can I maximize my vacation days? And she was like such a bro, also American. She's like, listen, technically you're only allowed 30 days a year in America, but you're actually allowed up to 40 if you give them a reason. So she like wrote a thing for me and I got 40 days in America and they paid for the flight.
That's amazing.
Such a scheme.
Also, it's kind of like with life, like don't take anything too seriously. And like there's always ways around things, you know, you got to ask your questions. If you don't ask questions like you just said and like push it, like you won't get what you could be getting.
Also, if you find a solution that works to your problem, you just have to make like the other person think that they came up with that genius solution.
Yeah.
And then like they'll let you do it, like make them think it was their idea and then it works. Play stupid also. Make them think
stupid.
You need to teach a master manipulation class and I will attend. I will be your number one student.
You honestly should. Like Abby and I, we had to deal with like bureaucracy at one point. We were on the phone with them for like 5 hours. Abby was going crazy, like screaming and like screaming like Nicki Minaj in her living room. And I was like on the phone, like screaming at them. You just gotta argue.
Yeah,
you do. I'm all about that too. I'm all about getting what I want. I'm like, I'm not gonna like stop until I get, yeah.
No, because it's possible. Honestly, it's possible. You just have to fight, scream at the right person, threaten to sue the right person, and then that's it.
Yeah.
You win.
So before we end it, Abby, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. I mean, I want to know what's next for Nava the Great. She made it through Israel. She made it through being a medic in the army and just a whole lot of bullshit the past 5 years.
Yeah.
What is next in your chapter? What's
going on? Currently, I'm taking university classes with a bunch of 18-year-olds who wear Crocs now because apparently Crocs are back, like, unironically.
Bad. Weirdness. I think they're so not cute.
But also, like, when, like, Crocs were in when we were younger, like, there were, like, you know, very basic, like, solid color, whatever. Now there are, like, glittery Crocs. They're, like, they're – I saw someone with, like, glittery gold Crocs, like actual glitter with, like, you know, those little things that you put in the croc holes. So yeah. She had one that said eat the rich. And I'm like, see, when I was seven, last time Crocs were in style, like I had like pink Crocs and like a watermelon thing in it. You know, yeah. I didn't like, wasn't using my Crocs for any politics or anything, but you know, I'm the old, like, old scary veteran, the old veteran who sits in the back of the classroom, you know, when I was your age, like, movies cost a nickel, you know? No, but also, I feel like in university here, it's so different than university in Israel because, like, the teachers are more, like, sensitive, like they really coddle the students. Like here, like one of my professors is like, does anyone have any questions? Like, we're here to help you. There are no stupid questions. If everyone in the class fails, like, it's my fault as a teacher. And then there was my school in Israel where in my organic chemistry class, everyone did fail. And the teacher's like, you're all stupid. You're all retaking it. This happens every year that everyone fails. Someone would ask a question. The teacher's like, shut up. We're not doing that now. And then in America, like, there are no stupid questions. So I want to find a happy medium between
them. I like that. Good. Because I think that's important. It's hard.
But there are stupid questions, though. I can tell you, after being in school here, there is such a thing as a stupid question. Because I've heard all of them.
I would say there's such a thing as a stupid question. But I think it's also important that, like, the teacher, like, everyone, honestly, I have dyslexia. So it's harder for me sometimes to learn. So it was, like, super important that, like, my teacher could be empathetic and could be helpful to that. Yeah. And I feel like in Israel, I don't know, but I feel like I would have had a harder time if my teacher was like intense.
I know, it was crazy also because, like, you know, like as someone who's like did not natively speak the language and sometimes needed help like with explanations and whatever, the teachers would like sometimes they wouldn't even answer their emails and like. So we had, like, a group of Americans, like, a group chat of all the four Americans before, you know, I left the country and two of them dropped out. We had a group chat. We would all, like, help each other.
Good.
So, I mean, the silver lining is that you developed a tough skin.
Yes. But now I need to shed that in America.
What?
Now I need to shed the tough skin in America. Because, like, I have, like, an Israeli attitude. Like, I think that someone's, like, coming to, like, fight me, but, like, they're just, like, polite. You know what I'm saying?
They're just coming, like, to give you a hug.
They're not coming to scream at me. They're not trying to, like, argue aggressively. But me in my Israeli mind, I'm like, time to fight. Like, hold my earrings.
Oh, gosh. Good times.
Good
times. So we're going to have you be our coach girl of the week.
It's a surprise. We didn't tell you.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
How about of the month or of the year?
Oh, you're really owning the title. I thought you were going to resist being Coach Girl of the Week.
We're stopping at the week. I just think I should be of the year.
Do you know our first? No, you're not our first Coach Girl. We had Lily last week.
Who beat me? I'll fight her.
Or someone else last week. But you are one of them. And let's talk. So tell me about what. You know, where can we find you? Are you on social media anywhere?
Well, actually, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I post occasionally, but I'm taking a social media class and they forced me to open a Twitter and a LinkedIn. And I'm actually taking advice from Abby about Twitter because I have no clue how to use it. So if my tweets at first seem a little Abby-ish, it's because Abby probably.
I love that.
Like, yeah. I'm good at giving people other advice for social media, but not at, like, taking, like, half of Abby's posts and, like, captions were me. But, like, I'm not good at coming up with my own.
I know about science. I'm very educated in the matter, and I can help you with those scientific tweets.
I'm a woman in STEM.
I wish I was a woman in STEM.
Join.
So what else are, so what are you looking for, would you say,
in a dude?
In a relationship? Any tips? Well, anything?
I want to finish my degree first. I would say, like, 3 or 4 years once I finish my degree, as I've told Abby. But probably, like, good sense of humor. Honestly, being able to just, like, laugh about things and not take life too seriously. Because, like, when you take life too seriously and it gets, like, you know, boring, I like just being able to, you know, laugh about everything. Also, intelligence, sort of important sometimes, like a little bit, you know, common sense.
Yeah, but like if he was hot, he could be dumb. You'd allow it?
Have you met like half the people and like you know, Abby, you know the type, like the good vibes only. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about every like Israeli on their bio. It's like good vibes only. We're like, we get it. We like no one here wants bad vibes. So
like the picture, you know, the one picture with the dog and like 50 other people from the army. And then the fake English also, like, where you can hear the accent. You see them writing something in English, like even how are you, but, like, you read it in there, like, how are you?
You know, so that kind of thing. Are you saying you're into that or you're not? Like, we'll let the Israeli guys know. No. Okay.
I left for a reason.
That's literally, yeah. Bye.
Okay. He's looking for someone intelligent and funny. So if you remember this podcast episode a couple of years down the line, slide into Nava's DMs, your handle.
Well, you want to just chat with her and be friends with Nava now. She's an amazing, lovable, the funniest person ever.
Obviously.
So
Nava's best roommate.
For now.
For sure. Who's going to replace me? I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. Helena has been
I'll
good.
I'll keep Helena personally on the side. She's not. I'm going to win.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on. It's been so fun. I love seeing your face.
Anytime. Well, the audience won't see my face. They'll only hear my lovely radio-worthy voice.
We'll post pictures on the gram. Nava's handle is Nava Chaimides. How do you pronounce your last name?
I don't know. Chaimides. How do you spell it, Abby?
C-H-A-M.
You're reading it.
No, I'm not.
Oh, really?
No, I am reading it. I'm reading it.
I know you
do. Chaimides. Nava Chaimides.
No.
Find her on the socials. Thanks for coming on, Nava.
Thanks for having me.